जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यशोदा यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर तथा श्रीमद्श डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील ऐसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की, आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिव श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड श्री राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की, ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की, मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की, भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की, समवेद गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमां देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् ततो जाया मुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम, टुडे बीइंग द सेकंड डे ऑफ द रामायण कथा, सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम अवर डिफरेंट वर्ड्स एंड नॉट पार्ट ऑफ द शेड्यूल बट डिफरेंट वर्ड्स। कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट नंबर 3। ओम नमो भगवते उत्तम श्लोकाय, नमः आर्य लक्षणा शिलावृताय, ನಮ ಉಪಾಶಿತಾನಾಂ ಉಪಾಶಿತ ಲಕ್ಷಯ ನಮ ಸಮಸಾಧುವಾದ ನಿಖಾಸನಾಯ ನಮೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣ್ಯದೇವಾಯ ಮಹಾಪುರುಷಾಯ ಮಹಾರಾಜಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಾಮ ಇತಿ Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. So there is no purport, only translation by Srila Prabhupada. This is from the chapter entitled The Island of Jambudvip. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija Mantra, Omkar. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities of the Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by the Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Om Namo Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪಾತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮಿನೇ ಗೋರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೆ ಬೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, this is a verse that we have selected for, which actually glorifies Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan. This is the second day of the Ramkatha as per your schedule. And it explains very beautifully. It is chapter entitled is The Island of Jambudvipa. And here, Sukadeva Goswami, the host of Gandharvas, just to give you a background, the host of Gandharvas are chanting their glories of Sri Ramchandra on the island of Jambudvip. For more details, you can do your home study and understand what is the context of this. But sufficient to say today that this is a beautiful glorification by the Gandharvas of Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan, wherein they say that. And we can see how beautifully it is structured, the whole sloka. So it is explaining that you are the best or the most highly elevated personality. Your lordship is the reservoir of all good qualities of the Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior is always consistent. And you always control your senses and mind. Yeah. So of the many glorification of Lord Ram, this particular aspect of Ram is very, very interesting and very something which is which we can imbibe in our own personality. And what is that? Your character and behavior is always consistent. Your character and behavior is always consistent. So today we are going to be also taking up the particular portion of the Balakand. I'm sure yesterday you would have got some understanding from Vasudeva Prabhu about the structure of Ramayana. If not, we know that there are seven khands in Sri Ramayana. Ramayana is it is called the Adi Kavya. It is the original poetry as composed by Valmiki Muni. This is very interesting. There are so many poetries, but we have Adi Kavya. Lord Brahma is Adi Kavya. But which is the Adi Kavya, the original Kavya. And the history is very interesting, very important. Because please understand that none of the scriptures, they just come just from nothing. There's a beautiful history, there's a beautiful churning that happens. And from the beautiful churning comes this beautiful scripture. So, and there's lots to learn for students like us from each of the scriptures, and how did they come about. One way is that, well, we have been Indians, we know Ramayana since our childhood. Obviously, we know Ramayana. Since the time we started hearing stories, we heard stories of Ramayana. Nothing new for us, right? But Adi Kavya, this Kavya is made millions and billions of years ago, and still it happens to be one of the most leading books read by the people in the world. I mean, can you imagine the significance, and imagine the depth, that can you imagine the profoundness of the scripture? Yeah. So, and it glorifies Sri Ramchandra, and of course Vasudeva Prabhu must have explained to you, it actually doesn't glorify Ramchandra Bhagavan, it actually glorifies the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Srimati Sita Devi. Yeah, because Ram would have not, I mean, he's not a person who likes to hear his own glories and sit and, okay, go on, I carry on my glories. He's not a person of that character. He's because he's extremely, as explained here, refined human being. A refined human being will feel extremely difficult, extremely uncomfortable to hear his own glories. And only a debauchee, I'm sorry to use that word, but that's the word used by our acharyas. Only a debauchee would, as Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, that only a debauchee will sit on the Vyasasana and hear his own glories. Yeah. So only a debauchee will be happy to hear his own glory. So Ram was not of that personality. He was. So why did he sit throughout hearing these glories from his own children, Lav and Kush? So the history goes like this, that Narada Muni, the most empowered preacher, the most empowered interplanetary traveler, he obviously in a very, very, very beautiful desh kala patra way, time, place, circumstance way, told the hunter, which of course was not Brikari, of course, but that hunter, which is Valmiki, to chant the name of Ram, because it's a long, beautiful story, but he realized, he made him understand that, there's this whole profession of being a hunter and a butcher would be very, very detrimental for his spiritual life. So he became his disciple as well. But I won't use the word fallen, but so very conditioned. He can't be a fallen person. But so very conditioned that he couldn't chant the name of Ram. He said, don't worry. And then he said, Mara, 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 Mara. And then he said, continue chanting the name of God, the name of death. Mara, Mara, is very close to your heart. Chant. And he chanted the name of God. And he became a wonderful devotee of the Lord. And then, as we have visits of the spiritual master coming often, today we have, in a very few minutes, maybe you will see after 2 years, many of people's spiritual master coming here. So similarly, Narada Muni was traveling to see, let me see what my disciple is doing. Let me see, let me meet him. And he came to meet Valmiki. And Valmiki was intensely chanting the names of Sri Ram, completely transformed. This whole aspect of transformation is what we are all looking for. Adau shraddha tata sadhu sangota bhajana kriyat anartha nivritti sad ruchis tataha. The whole process is the whole process of transformation, my dear friends. What are we trying to do in our life? Why are we here? Why are we wearing saffron clothes? Why are we wearing this clothes? Why are we sitting here? Why are we doing all that we do? Something that usually people don't do. They don't get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and do austere type of living. Why are we doing all these things? Because we want transformation. Transformation is all the purpose of our life, to transform our life, because right now our life is transformed, but transformed Krishna Bahir Mukha. That we are looking away from Krishna. Krishna Bahir Mukha Jiva Bhoga Vancha Kare Nikatiya Mayasthane Japotiya Dhore. That after the liver soul is Bahir Mukha. Bahir Mukha means looking away from Krishna. When he sees Bahir Mukha, Nikatiya Mayasthane Japotiya Dhore, and then Maya captures. But we are not trying to be going Bahir Mukha. We are trying to face away towards Krishna. That's why Prabhupada explained beautifully the condition of Indians versus other people. He said, very interesting, Indians are this close to Krishna. But the sad part is they are looking on the other side. So they are Bahir Mukha. Because as we said, Ram, we can unnecessarily be proud to say, well, I know Ram since my birth. My mother read Ramayana when I was in her womb. Yeah. So that's how fortunate we are. And we have Sri Hare Krishna, who is Ram. He was born in Ram Navami. Yeah, that's why his name was Ram. Ram Thakur. That was his name. All his life. So we have everywhere we go, Ram Gali, Hanuman Gali. We are used to this. It's part of our Indian culture. Whether our streets, whether our temples, whether our names. It's all about Ram and Krishna and Hanuman. But Valmiki Muni was experiencing such an intense, beautiful transformation, and Narada Muni was seeing this transformation from a heinous hunter who was allowed to kill animals and make them half dead, not even dead fully. They used to allow them, you know, struggling for life, flapping. And that really, really is a very, very sad state. Right? He used to enjoy that. Wow, this is, you should get rasa from that. That was his personality. And from there, to really, be a person who would not even want to hurt an ant. Was a significant transformation. So he wanted to see, and so when he saw Narada Muni, he asked, Narada Muni, please explain. We are discussing here, few of us, and we are discussing that. We want to know, is there any personality in this world who is very righteous, very pure, very, very gentlemanly? And he had elaborate qualities that we want to know a person who is actually the most worshipable person. Who is that person we really want to find? Similar to like what we heard at the beginning of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Who is the most worshipable person? And that's how, we see the whole beautiful discussion in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, right from, Varanasi, that goes up to the Brahmana, and that goes up to the Pandavas, and that's how beautiful is us to know who is the most worshipable personality. And similar in Valmiki is asking, can you please tell me a person who is very self-controlled, who is worth following, who is very kind to people, who never says a lie, who is very righteous in his dealings with people, who is para dukhe dukhi, very munificent? Is there a person like that? So then, of course, there is a person like that. And then he said, Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan. I said, oh, really? Valmiki didn't know about Sri Ram. And he explained that the person that you're talking about, that personality is very directly present in the personality of Sri Ram. By the way, at that point in time, Ramayana was not yet composed. At that point of history that we're talking about right now, millions of years back, Ramayana was not yet composed. So he said, so when the guru imparted this knowledge of Sri Ram to Valmiki, Valmiki was ecstatic. He said, I want to go into some seclusion and do my own personal bhajan and meditate upon Sri Ram. And then he was just trying to understand the personality of Ram as given to him by the understanding given to him by his guru. And there, as we understand, how beautiful things are arranged, apparently mundane, apparently not so important activity was happening. Nothing is mundane, my dear friends. And we will come to understand. Here was two birds, specifically known as the crouncher birds. They are like cranes. Male and a female crunch birds. They are together. Obviously, when a male and female are together, they are, you know, they were having loving relationship with each other. And out of the blue, and this is what Valmiki is seeing. He was seeing and he was happily admiring the beautiful relationship with these two birds. And suddenly a hunter shoots an arrow and kills the male cruncher bird. The male cruncher bird dies and the female is howling and crying and maybe obviously not beating her chest because she's not a human. But in one sense, we can say she was beating her chest to really just out of nowhere. The snake of time just kills the time factor, right? It's a time factor. And the time factor is like and the bite of the time factor is so powerful. It just happens any time. The snake can hit you any time. There's a snake. The male bird is dead. And she's crying. And then suddenly from the mouth of Valmiki, who is actually practicing the highest level of ahimsa, spiritual ahimsa, not the mundane ahimsa that we talk about and not the mundane ahimsa that one of the famous personalities of India propagated. That's mundane. If ahimsa can be used in Krishna's service, why should we not do ahimsa? Right? So we are not... So he just pronounced a curse to the hunter. The person who has been the cause of the destruction of the loving relationship between these two cruncher birds, may that person for rest of eternity experience trouble and nothing but trouble. This came out of his mouth and he said that, you know, what have I done? This is afterthoughts. Right? Many times we have this problem of what is called afterthoughts. How many of us face this? We do something and afterthoughts. What is the reason we get afterthoughts? What does it show? The afterthought shows that we have the right understanding but not yet the right sharp intelligence to use understanding at the right time. Please understand. For most of the people, they don't get the right thoughts. They say, we are fine, we're doing. So that means they don't have the right understanding itself. But by the practice of Krishna consciousness, we are trying to sharpen our intelligence. And sharpening intelligence means what? To do the right thing, but also at the right time. Please know for sure, we all can experience that do the right thing at the wrong time may not be completely right. I won't say it is wrong, but may not be completely right. That means to chant our rounds. I have a simple example. To chant our rounds, which is the right thing to do. Namna makari bhauta nida sharva sakti stathra pita niyamita smaranena kala. There are no niyam. You can chant anytime, anywhere. So that doesn't mean that I chant, you know, my prescribed number of rounds at 12 o'clock in the morning of the previous day, of course. That means the right thing at the wrong time may not be completely right. That's the point. So that is why to this afterthought, my dear friend, is something to show to us that yes, I am regretting what I did. But because I do not have the sharp intelligence to really apply the right understanding at the right time, that's why I have to regret. And that is why we have this famous understanding, the pain of discipline versus the pain of regret. Pain is inevitable, my dear friends. Please understand. The pain of discipline, that means if you are disciplined life, you will have to have pain. It is not easy to live a disciplined life. But if you have that pain, it is in grams. The pain of discipline is in grams versus the pain of regret, which is in tons. Are you getting the point? So better to be disciplined or experience the pain of discipline, because it's not easy to get up in the morning, to live a disciplined scheduled life. Not easy, no doubt. Or for that matter, not the daily, but even in general, our life as a sadhaka is not an easy life. We have to say no to so many things. We can't just do what we want to do. We can't just do things the way we want to do it. It's not easy. So there is a pain of discipline. But it is worth that pain. Because please understand, pain is inevitable. In this material world, there is no option because it's dukhalayam. It is a place of pain. So don't expect no pain. But what quantum of pain you want is something in your hand. You want the pain of discipline, which is in grams, versus the pain of regret. That's why in Hindi it is very well described. पश्चाताप की अग्नि कहते हम, द फायर ऑफ रिग्रेट. फायर बर्न्स, रिग्रेट बर्न्स, एंड अवर लाइफ इज filled with regrets of things that I should have done which I didn't do. Am I right? Constantly regrets. That is why it's a Brahma Bhuta Prasadnatma na sochati na kangshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu. The Brahma Bhuta platform is what? Neither hankering nor lamenting. That's why on a lighter side we say, if you are not Brahma Bhuta, you are a Bhuta. Bhuta means always hankering and lamenting. What does the Bhuta mean? Bhuta means he wants to enjoy. He has no body. Hankering for no body and hankering for a pleasure. So either you are Brahma Bhuta or you are a Bhuta. So Valmiki was repenting. What did I do? Why did I pronounce this curse? But please understand, these great personalities are not part of the regret domain. They are always in, they're used by the Lord, you know, for the service domain. So he's regretting that, you know, as saints and sadhus, you know, we are not out here to curse people. I mean, none of us who really, and it's not a habit, right? Where somebody does something wrong, I'll curse you. That's not Vaishnavism, or for that matter, that's not even practice of spirituality, right? Cursing people. Then people will follow you. If just imagine Prabhupada was out to curse people, you know, he just said, let's International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and what Prabhupada is doing is just cursing people. I know you don't do this, I'll curse you, you don't do this, I'll curse you. That means it becomes International Society for Fear Consciousness, not Krishna Consciousness. You are fearful of people and you do things out of fear. So he was regretting, but he was used by, and he was thinking at one point, as I'm regretting, but something interesting. The curse that I pronounced came out in a form of beautiful poetry. How is it? It is perfectly rhyming, perfectly, chandas, there are four words in each line. Came out as beautiful poetry. It's a curse. And he was thinking that it's a curse. Maybe curse has not come out of some preparation. You don't prepare for a curse. Like, you know, you don't really sit and, okay, let me curse you. And then let me compose my curse. Does anybody compose a curse? Nobody composes. It just comes. Curse is a curse. It's just something which comes out. But something beautiful came out, and he was wondering, what is it? And right there and then, Lord Brahma appears. I said, don't worry, my dear Valmiki. What you have done is something very interesting. It is the seed of the Adi Kavya. I said, what do you mean? It's the seed. I said, what you have really composed, it is the seed of a scripture that I am going to request you to write. I want you to write the scripture, the glorious pastimes of Sri Ramayan, of Sri Ram. And please write the whole scripture in exactly the same meter, the same poetry as you have just pronounced the curse. And that was the significance of the curse that you pronounced. That is why you are used to pronounce that curse, use that. But he said, but how can I write? I don't know about Ram. Can you imagine to write some about somebody you don't even know? He was just introduced to Ram just a few days back by Narad Muni. This is a personality called Ram. And here you are being ordered by none other than Lord Brahma to write a whole scripture about the integrate pastime of Lord Ram. How is it possible? And that's what Prabhupada said. Impossible is a word in a full dictionary. Nothing is impossible in the spiritual world. Why? Because we give all glories to a very important aspect in our life, which many times we forget, and we should never forget. And what is it? Any guesses? A very important aspect. Huh? Exactly. The empowerment that comes from the blessings. We forget it because it is very convenient to forget. Because we don't like, when we are in a proud disposition, or we like to be in a disposition that we have been living our lives all this time, we don't want to feel that, you know, I am empowered. We feel that I am the doer. Internally, in spiritual circles, obviously, we will never say we are the doers, because it is not grammatically correct. I mean, we have a spiritual lingo, right? We have our own lingo. We have our own way we talk. The way we talk is, we talk in a humble way. I'll just share with you, I mean, the first experience of this humble talking that I experienced when I became a devotee in 1988. So, you know, I was here, a new devotee, just few weeks old maybe, or few months at the most. I was a new devotee and I heard two devotees talking. And obviously when you are new, you said you want to learn everything, right? Everybody who does something, you want to, oh, acha, aisa bhi hota hai. Oh, aisa bhi hota hai. Isn't it? I'm sure all of us, when you first came to Krishna consciousness, people talking, oh, wow. Because the way devotees live, the way devotees talk, the way devotees do things are very different. Right? When I first time heard, I saw a person applying tilak, I was like, wow. And I'm sure all of you also must have experienced, wow, this is so nice. So I was here and two devotees were talking. He said, Prabhu, I am very fallen. So this was a new thing to me. I mean, I was a college student, right? So I said, fallen? I said, I'm so fallen, I'm like the worm in your stool. So maybe, like, my God, the people are quite gross, man. This is, we don't talk such things, you know, I mean, in such a way. I mean, usually when you are, we don't talk such things, right? But in, of course, spiritual circles, stool is a very important discussion factor, point. So he's, and of course, then you realize, I later on realized this was something which was spoken by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I mean, he's such the most elevated writer of all writers. So anyway, that person whom he said that I'm like the worm in the stool. So that person had to refute back, na? Because when devotees discuss, you have to win the argument. So then he said, Prabhu, I am like the worm in the stool of that worm. Now this was obviously something very, very beyond my understanding. But the point I'm trying to say is, we have our lingo. We try to act humble, but in our real behavior, that's why this word today is very interesting, that he was very consistent in his character and behavior. And that is where the real problem is, my dear friends, in our spiritual practice. There is a huge gap, a huge dichotomy in our behavior and our character. Or rather, what we show people what we are and what we really are. To the extent you are transparent, to that extent you get empowered by Krishna, because Krishna takes over. Because what you are doing, to the extent you are transparent, means you are telling the world, this is the way I am. Not transparent in the way of being horribly, what is the right word, shameless. Many times people like to be shameless. You know what? I broke the four directive principles yesterday. That's shameless. That's horrible. We are talking about being shameless. But we have to be transparent that I'm struggling. I'm a struggling sadhaka. Please, I need help. Don't give me a false understanding of what I'm not. And I don't want to show to people what I'm not. Yeah? So, empowerment is a very, very important thing in our life. Let us always remember that we can never be proud of borrowed plumes. This is a phrase from the British, you know, that many times when Britishers, they used to go for their ball dance. You know, many Britishers, they have their own, plumes means coats, very beautiful coats. So many Britishers, they don't have, they are not wealthy, but they want to dance on 31st December night. What they do, they hire the best of plumes. They hire it for a day, okay, tomorrow I'll give it back. So it doesn't belong to them, but they are wearing it. But they have to be very careful, it doesn't belong to them. When they go back, you know, it goes back. So you cannot be proud of borrowed plumes. And please understand, our position is always going to be never owners but trustees. There's a huge difference between an owner and a trustee. And we'll never be owners, because there's Akale, Ishwara, Krishna, Ara, Shakala, Bhritya. Very simple, very clearly explained. Akale, there's only one owner. Akale, Ishwara, Krishna, Ara, Shakala, Bhritya. Everything else is false. Everything else is that we are simply trustees. We are never the owners. So it's so important that Valmiki, who has been told by Lord Brahma that please write a scripture, I said, how do I write it? I said, don't worry. Just meditate upon Sri Ram. and Ram will empower you and he will give you the glimpse of the most intricate pastimes of his where you can write. And this was exactly what happened to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We very contemporary right now, much we can really relate to because we know the place, Radhakund, where he wrote the scripture. He's saying that I'm suffering from cataract. I mean, when you have cataract, you know, I know because we go to Barsana Eye Camp, we have Brijbasis who have cataracts and, you know, they want to see. They want to see the Lord. And then we do this cataract operations. And believe me, my dear friends, I have been experiencing it so many times. When the first time when we open their bandage and they see. And the amount of blessings that they give you. So that's why all our volunteers, they all wait. Ki blessings aane wale bhar bhar ke. I said, oh, teri bibi achi ho. You know, all these Brijbasis, they like all these blessings, you know. Tu bahut paisa wala ho. Tu Bhagwan Radha Rani tere kripa kare. And they give blessings. Why? Because they're able to see after years they have not seen. Because cataract, you can't see. Simple operation, you just remove the cataract. You can see. So Krishna Kavira Goswami said, I have got cataract in both the, you know, both the eyes. Of course, there was no Barsana eye camp that time. Otherwise, we would have taken him for the cataract from Radhakund. We do get sadhus from Radhakund coming and getting cataract operations done. Very special. You know, once I was, since I'm here, I go to this Barsana eye camp. We do the seva of publicity. You know, so we go to all the villages around Barsana, all the villages which are like divine pastime places of the Lord, you know. So we will have a separate session where I can tell you different stories of different places. So, but the one unique thing that I see when I go to the places that Brijbasis, whether you go at 10 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock, they are outside their house, they have a beautiful charpai and they are lying down, relaxed. Peacocks moving around. This is all very, very old. I mean, not old, but all pure villages of Braj. We get to go. In fact, at the many places that we go, our is the only car which enters that village every year. Every 5 years, an election vehicle comes. There's only two cars that see, even to this day. So when our car comes, the children go mad. They run after our car. Gadi hai, gadi hai, gadi hai. Hare Krishna maybe knows. You have been with us? It's an amazing place. So anyway, I see this... Brijbasis at 1, at 9 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, just relax. So actually I got down and asked one Brijbasi, ke aap log kaam nahi karte ho? I mean, in a humble way, in a really way to know. Because you are relaxed, you are just, you know, many of them are doing hookah, original hookah, you know, which we saw in hookah. And Brijbasi is pure. And he made this one statement. And that was a knockout statement for me. He said, Jisko kaam hai, usko kaam karna padta hai. Humko Radharani, she takes care of us. So that's the Brijbasi. So anyway, there's a side topic. So even our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was empowered. And then he wrote the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita with rheumatoid arthritis, with cataract, with the old age of 90 plus years. He writes a scripture which is like amazing, perfect poetry. Each line is a poetry. How is it possible? Empowerment. Let's not underestimate the power of empowerment. And empowerment is not only for people who are just in the first 5 years of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we say, I need empowerment. But after 5 years, you know, I'm on my own. Chalega, I don't need it. I'll drive my own, you know. It's not like a driving license and a learner's license and 5 years learner's license, then you can drive your own vehicle. No. Spiritual life is minute to minute, second to second need of empowerment. My dear friends, I'm bound to stress this point. The moment you think that you can do things on your own, you are in a big spiritual soup. I call it man chow soup. Man chow. It just eats you. Chow. The mind is going to chew you. You will be in a big soup. And that's why when you hear these stories, you should understand that great things manifest when you are ready to be instruments of empowerment. And that is the proof. Valmiki, a hunter, practically his 80% of his life was spent in killing animals ruthlessly, the way we explained. But he was there to be an instrument. And Krishna empowered. And he went on, my dear friends, to write this 24,000 verses in perfect and exactly in the rhythm that he pronounced that curse. He wrote, and he was amazed. That's another thing. When a person who is empowered, when he does something, he feels amazed. When a person who is not empowered and he does something, he feels, what more can I do? Not enough. Please understand, this is a very important psyche of a difference. A person who is empowered, he said, hey, kaise ho gaya mere se? How did I do this? How does this happen? Because I cannot do it. No question. Prabhupada said it all the time. He said, I cannot do what I did. Not possible. And we ourselves have experienced this so many times. What we speak is something that we don't know what we speak, isn't it? Even ordinary, struggling sadhaka like us, we wonder how I give this answer. Kaise ho gaya? So if Krishna can use us, what are we? Insignificant is also a very significant word for us. We are very insignificant. And if Krishna can do something wonderful from us, the power of empowerment. Let us always meditate upon and let us always be wanting that empowerment. That was the only difference between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. The Pandavas were always seeking empowerment and the Kauravas were always thinking independently doing things. The Pandavas were always seeking blessings and the Kauravas were always out gathering curses. Isn't it? You see the life of the Kauravas is a life of curses after curses after curses after curses after curses. And see the life of Pandavas. It was a struggling life, no doubt. But still full of blessings. We bless you, this. Even Urvashi cursed Arjun. It was a blessing. So all is blessing. Devotees should be out gathering blessings. And let not your behavior be in such that knowingly or unknowingly you are out to gather curses. But when you get curses, you lose empowerment. Our life, my dear friends, should be such that we are busy gathering blessings. Because that's what our life is meant to be. And that's what our life is all about. A bunch of collected blessings is what our life should be. And that's what Prabhupada said, all I am made up of is my Guru's blessings, isn't it? Why? Because he says, blessings after blessings after blessings. And devotees do bless. And it's not a bless means somebody who is a dadi or somebody who's old. Yeah, main aapko aashirwad deta hun, aisa nahi. But you just give up when somebody is thirsty, you give water and that is a blessing. When somebody is in trouble and you help and said, Prabhuji, thank you. That's a blessing. Somebody doesn't have to raise the hands and say, blessing is something, the good feeling for you coming out from your heart. And similarly, curse is not somebody has to take I curse you. They're not curses, but somebody who feels sad and I've not even pronounced it, but in your heart he has felt, Sridharma, what you did, I didn't like it. I'm hurt. That is a curse, my dear friend. It's a curse. So in Kali Yuga, everything is very subtle. Blessings and curses. In the previous Yugas, things were a little more obvious. But Kali Yuga is very subtle. So, coming to the point, Balakand, I don't know how much we are going to complete, but I think we go the way it goes. So, Valmiki is just composing, but now I've written the scripture, but who will be marketing it? How do I really market this product? Somebody has to know, somebody. So then again, he was inspired from within. I said, who else but Mother Sita, who was staying in his own ashram? She has given birth to twins, Love and Kusha. And they will be the right people to go all over.
So they were the original reciters of Ramayana. When we are describing Ramayana, my dear friends, we are actually following in the footsteps of the sons of Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan. What a glorious task we have. The original speakers of Ramayana are none other than Ram's own children, Lav and Kush. Isn't it glorious? So, Valmiki empowered, he taught, they were their students, he taught them the whole Ramayana. He empowered them. He trained them how to speak, what to speak, when to speak, what emotions to put where. And then they would go all over. And then, of course, in our Hindi, we have Hum Katha Sunaye. That beautiful way, even our serials have captured this whole mood of Lav and Kusha. It's something you will cry. You will cry when you read. I mean, every time I heard that, even in Hindi, it is so touching. And then finally they reached Ayodhya. And doing a little fast forward. So they start glorifying Ayodhya. Ayodhya is a Dharma Bhumi. It's a beautiful place. And they talk about the original lineage of Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan, Ishvaku. The same Ishvaku who comes in Gita. The Gita was spoken to Ishvaku. The same great, glorious person. He was part of the solar dynasty, the sun dynasty, where Ramchandra Bhagavan took birth. Ishvaku, then, going a little fast forward, it would have a beautiful story I have, but I think we were in the interest of time. The most glorious, we had Bhagirath in the same, Maharaj Sagara. The cause of Mother Ganga's descent, Maharaj Sagara started and Bhagirath was actually successful. That whole descent of Mother Ganga was caused by the glorious, this original lineage of Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan. Can you imagine life without Ganges, my dear friends? Can you imagine if there was no Ganges on this earth planet? Hare Krishna is here from Rishikesh. You know, I remember I went to Rishikesh a few months back. She is the very mother which caresses the child wherever she goes. You enter her waters, she's a mother. What is the life without a mother in the form of Mother Ganges? And she's glorified as Bhagirathi after Bhagirathi. I was just thinking while I was driving, that how Mother Ganga loves to be known as Janavi after Janu Muni and Bhagirathi after Bhagirath Muni. Glorified after devotees who have really served her so well. She doesn't be, you never call her as Mother Ganga. You always call her as Mandakini Ganga, Bhagirathi Ganga, Janavi, Bhogavati in the lower planetary systems. That's Bhagirath. That's Mother Ganga. And that was the cause, is the glorious lineage of Mother of Sri Ram. What a history India has, my dear friends. The glorious history of India. Mahabharat. The glorious India. So that's how proud we should be. And that's how connected we should feel to these great bodies of mercy in the form of Mother Ganges, Mother Jamuna. That we have access to them and we have understanding of them. Otherwise, most of the people, you know, they just go, they apply soap and they took their dubki. And so sad, they just see Ganges as simply a water body to clean their soap out. But she is mother who can give divine blessings. Yeah. So anyway, so then the most glorious of that solar dynasty is Dashrath. He was actually the person who glorified, who made Ayodhya most glorious, Ayodhya was at the peak of its glory at the time of Dashrath Maharaj. He was such a powerful ruler. In fact, Ayodhya was the capital of the whole human race. That's what Dravacharya say. Not only the capital of India, it was a capital. That means the capital of the whole creation. The whole planetary system that we talk about. The Ayodhya was a capital. That's significant, right? Significant. Ayodhya was that. That's how glorious it Ayodhya was. And Dashrath was glorified. It was a brilliant. Everybody loved him. It was said that Ayodhya Vasis was, I mean, it was such a powerful life that Dashrath led. What's the time we need to end? 9:30? That people in Ayodhya would not fall sick. There was no pandemic. They would not tell a lie. Because there was no need to tell a lie. Why do we need to tell a lie? We want to cover up something. There was nothing to cover up. There was nobody lying. They're all very, very healthy. All very, very prosperous. All very devoted to their king. The king devoted to them. Sounds utopic, right? Sounds something as what? But that's what Ayodhya was and is. So then, but still, material world, you know, please understand. You can be in Ayodhya, you can be Dashrath, who will in due course be the father of the Lord. But he had a regret. As I said, you know, regret to sabko hota hai, material world. Sab kuch hai, bacche nahi hai yaar. We all have that regret, right? Everything is there, but. So that's why I always say there's a article that we are working upon. The article is called but. That word but is, you know, many times people who are very good eloquent speakers, you know, they say, oh, you know, I like you the way you are and everything. But then you know kuch aane wala hai. The word but is actually the whole. So that's what life is. There's a big buts. That's why I say ifs and buts. Life is filled with ifs and buts. Only if I had this, but I don't have this. Ifs and buts, ifs and buts. That's the life, the story of life for 99% of people. There was a big but for Dashrath Maharaj. But everything is there. 350 wives. I mean, you know the story, right? Dashrath was a smart person. And every time Parshuram came to kill him, because he was killing all Kshatriyas, when he came to news that Parshuram is coming, he would just start a marriage and he would get married to a particular lady. And that's how he had 350 wives, because every time, and Parshuram would not kill when there was a marriage happening. So that's how he had 350 wives, of which four were very prominent. But of all of them, he didn't have a, and it was a sacred duty of the king, very sacred duty, to give the kingdom the right heir, the right vanshaj to rule and train him. But I don't have any. So what to do? So he was very sad. Little fast forward. He had eight of his main ministers, of which one of them, there's eight ministers Dashrath had. If you want more details, we can talk later. But I'll talk about the one minister, Sumanta. Very famous, Arya Sumanta. He said, Dashrath, I must tell you one story. You are regretting, you are in pain. But there is a story I heard, which I heard in one of the Bhagavatam classes. I mean, one of the discourses. And there's this class, this was spoken by Sanat Kumar. And he speaks about you. Remember, he was speaking of something which is going to happen in the future. He speaks that would be in your dynasty. He was telling, Sanat Kumar is addressing the one of the kings of the solar dynasty. He says, in your dynasty, there will be a king named Dashrath, and he will have four children, of which one of them will be the supreme person of God, and the other would be the anshas. So you have a child, don't worry. Acha, acha, that's very, thank God. And if that's what astrologers are all about, right? Do aapke life mein bachche hai, chinta mat karo, acha, acha lagta yaar. Aapke life mein paisa hai, chinta, thank God. You feel nice when somebody predicts something good about you in a few, you know, something. But of course, this is prediction which is really genuine, because Sanat Kumar, the original Sanat Kumar Samhita, very powerful personality. Sanat Kumar ke upar pura class ho sakta hai. That's a great personality Sanat Kumar is. Sanat Kumar Prabhu also. A great personality. Great name. So Sanat Kumar had predicted that he has four children. Said, how do we have, tell me how can I have a child? I tried and tried. I don't. So don't worry. And he explains, Sanat Kumar has explained how you will get a child. He says, how is it? You have to call a person named Rishyashringa. Hey, Rishyashringa, how will he come? And I'll just end the discussion. It's very interesting. What is this personality named Rishyashringa? There was a beautiful, a very powerful sage called Nibandhaka. Was performing intense tapasya, very, very intense tapasya, very, 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 for years and years, celibate, not eating, not drinking, having pure thoughts, doing tapasya. And the moment something like this happens, only one person who is scared. Our worshipable Indra. We should never look down upon him. He is a great person. We have no right to really demean him in any way. He is worshipable. What he does, it is between him and the Lord. As far as we are concerned, he is a worshipable. Because many times we say, Are Indra. Are bhai, Are Indra nahi hai wo. Because, you know, Krishna can tell him, but who are you? Sometimes, you know, we assume that we have the liberty what Krishna has or Brijbasis have. But hamara maryada nahi hai wo. Hamari aukaad nahi hai. We should behave in our aukaad. We should behave within our limits. So Indra Bhagwan, he got little jittery. We can learn from him, but not judge him. That's very important. You have no right to judge. So he said, he sent a particular damsel named Harsha. I said, do the needful. You know what to do, right? He said, yes, I know what to do. So she came to this Nibandaka. I said, you know, I already decided I want to have a child from you. And if you don't give me a child, I will commit suicide. बोले यार ये क्या बला है ये काम है आई एम डूइंग तपस्या कहाँ से ये प्रॉब्लम चालू हो गया सो ही सेड नो डोंट वरी सो ऑफ कोर्स यू नो साधु सेंट्स दे डोंट वांट टू डिसप्लीज एनीबडी ही सेड सो ही एज पार्ट ऑफ हिज एनर्जी दैट ही हैड ही गिव अ स्मॉल पोर्शन ऑफ एनर्जी ही सेड दिस एनर्जी विल टेक केयर ऑफ योर डिजायर्स एंड गिव दैट एनर्जी एंड लेफ्ट दैट मीन्स देयर वाज अ ड्रॉप ऑफ सीमन दैट ही जस्ट He gave. I said, this will take care of your needs. I don't have to really stay with you. You know, he was a detached sadhu. So then this Harsha said, this sage, his energy was so powerful that just that one drop was shaking the whole earth planet. It was shaking. I said, do something about it. So then she took that drop and put it in the womb of a deer, female deer. And then she went. Because, you know, Apsaras, they have no attraction. They are on duty. They are officers on special duty. OSD. They do their duty and then they go back. So she went back. But the deer became pregnant and gave birth to a beautiful human boy with small deer horns. So as Maharaj explains, very beautiful boy. But deer horns. Charming. But one thing Nibandaka said, this boy, and of course, Nibandaka said, now, that deer said, this is your child now. What do I do? A human being, how do I take care? This is your child. Take care of your child. And Nibandaka said, where is the mother? Mother is gone. I mean, the apsara is gone. So Nibandaka said, I have nothing to do with ladies. And I don't want this boy to do anything with ladies. I mean, nothing against ladies, but that's what his realization. It is not my realization. Please don't curse me, my dear ladies. I am not saying this. I respect and love ladies. But he said, I have nothing to do with ladies. So he said, in the ashram where he is growing, there should not be a single female entity. Forget human beings. Single female mosquito bhi nahi mangta hai, cockroach, nothing. No females. So that means in that area, it was a hardcore brahmacharya ashram. Means, you know, of the real sense. That no females in any shape or any way, not allowed. So, we are going a little different. So then, you know, Dashrath, even though he had no son, he had one daughter through Kausalya. Her name was Shanta. And Dashrath had a friend named Romapath Maharaj. And he was so close friend. Romapath Maharaj didn't have a child because he was cursed. So then, Shanta was growing in the kingdom of Rompath Maharaj, and the only way the curse that Rompath Maharaj was going to get rid of the curse, and because of the curse his whole kingdom was a drought for decades, not even for years, for decades there was a drought. So please understand, here is Rishashanga is born on one side, that's one part of the story. Then we have Rompath Swami whose kingdom is cursed and there is a drought. On the other side there is Dashrath who needs Rishashanga to come to his kingdom. Okay, there are three things. So Shanta is given to Rompath Maharaj, and you know she's growing there. So he said, so Romba Swami was told that only way you can get rid of this drought is if a great Brahman like Rishyasringa comes and touches your kingdom. But how will Rishyasringa come? He is in captivity. He is not allowed to come out of the ashram. How will he come to my kingdom? There's a plan. So he called all the ladies from his kingdom. He said, please dress as rishis. And when Dimandaka is not in the ashram, you go inside. And Rishyasringa was trained to serve rishis. His father said, the only way you can really make progress is serve the rishis, sadhus. And that's where you will be delivered. So Dimandaka, there was a problem in one of the sages. He was caught by a crocodile. And he went to save that sage. Dimandaka was very helpful. So he went to save that sage who was caught by the crocodile. And in the meantime, these ladies entered the ashram. They're sages, dressed as sages. So Rishyasringa served them and said, what do I want? What do you want? And he was doing very close, intimate service for the sages. But as explained that he was finding something different in his heart. The sage look thode alag hai. Aisa kaisa? What is so different in them? Something was happening in his heart. So he felt very attracted to them. Because of course, you know, he was already adult. And you know, when he was serving the ladies, he had that feelings. So he said, you know what? We are going now. The Rishi said, no, no, why are you going? Let me serve you. He said, no, why don't you come to where we stay? We have got a boat here. There's a beautiful place where we all Rishis stay. You come there. He said, okay. And father was not there, by the way. Nibandaka was not there. So Rishyasringa went, and moment the boat touched, the moment he stepped out of the boat and touched the kingdom of Romapas Maharaj, the whole place was completely, you know, there was rain and it just flourished. So then he was thinking that right now he's fine here, but you know, if his father comes to know that yes, and what I did, he will curse me, and again I'll be in some problem because curses are dangerous. Right? So Rompa Maharaj was already cursed once, and you saw what happened. He said, the best thing to do is get Rishyasringa married to Shanta, my daughter, who happens to be the daughter of Dashrath, by the way. If he's married, then Rishyasringa will become part of the family. Similarly, Nibandaka will become part of my family, and then he will not curse. Very smart plan. You know, sometimes alliances were made because of this family relationship. That's why many times our kings from Rajasthan did that. There were more political alliances than the marriage alliances. That's why we have this Akbar marrying Jodha. There's nothing great. He was anyway. That's a different story. They got married, and then Nibandaka came, and of course he couldn't do anything. So then Dashrath could easily call Rishyasringa because Dashrath's daughter is married to Rishyasringa. So please, my dear friends, this is the background of Dashrath's the glorious birth of Sri Ram. Rishyasringa comes. It's a perfect way to stop because that's the beginning of Balakand. Not beginning, but this is where Ram's birth. So Rishyasringa performs a beautiful, elaborate yajna. And then in the yajna, the fire god comes, and he says that, you know, please further worship. And then one of the anshas of Vishnu comes, and then he says that please go and he was telling about the presence of Ravana. The Ravana is doing a lot of atrocities here. So all the demigods they all went, and they told Ram. And Ram said, yes, fine, I'm going to incarnate very soon. The yajna is just happening. It's all getting ready. But you tell all the power, all the demigods to come down as powerful vanaras. Please, they are not monkeys. They are vanaras. Vanaras means human-like. They are humans. And they should have the same knowledge, the same strength, and the same dedication to Vishnu as demigods have. So these vanaras, and they should be, and specific instruction is they should be humongous in size. Powerful people. Tell them to take birth, and they should all be working towards helping me. Because I'm going to appear as one of the primary sons of Dashrath, and they should all help me to get rid of this demon Ravana. And that's the beginning of ಜನ್ಮ ಕರ್ಮ ಚಮೇ ದಿವ್ಯಂ ಏವಂ ಯೋ ವೇದಿ ತತ್ವತಾ ತತ್ವದೇಹ ಪುನರ್ ಜನ್ಮ ನೈತಿ ಮಾಂ ಇದಿ ಸ್ವರ್ಜುನ. ಒನ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಬರ್ತ್. ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಬರ್ತ್? ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ದುಷ್ಕೃತಂ ಧರ್ಮ ಸಂಸ್ಥಪನರ್ಥಾಯ ಸಂಭವಾಮಿ ಯುಗೇ ಯುಗೇ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ರಾಮ್ ಸೇಡ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್. ಸೊ ಟೆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ದಿಸ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಅರೇಂಜ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪೆಂಡ್ ವೇರ್ ಹನುಮಾನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸುಗ್ರೀವ ವಾಲಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಲ ನೀಲ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಜಮವನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ವೇರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪೆಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಕಿಕ್ಷಿಂದ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ದ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ರಾಮ್ಸ್ ಬರ್ತ್. And then, of course, the payasam was got from the sacrifice and payasam was distributed to the queens, first to two queens, and the one queen got two portions. We all know the story. And that was the birth of four glorious sons. And there was so much happiness, so much happiness. But that's what life is, my dear friends. Harsha Shoka. Dashrath's life is also like that. First Shoka, then Harsha. And again Shoka. To the extent he was so happy, oh, I've been trying to have a child. We have four children, not one, not two, not three. Four glorious children. And then, of course, we all know after a few years what happened. You know, Kaikeyi comes into picture. And so that's Ramayana. Of course, from now on, Balkhand continues. And then, you know, Vishwamitra Muni comes to the kingdom. He said, I want Ram and Lakshman. He said, oh, take my life. But don't take Ram. They are very very delicate princes, you know, very delicate bodied. And then Vaishishtha says, you're mistaken. Vishwamitra himself can destroy this Tadaka and Subahu and all these people. Don't worry, just send them. And of course, that was the whole plan of the most glorious personality of Ramayana entering into the picture in the form of Mother Sita. And that's where Vishwamitra takes them to the kingdom of Mithila. And that's the glorious marriage of Ram and Sita. I have very, very much fast-forwarded it by 10x, whatever you call it, 10x. But that's what Balakand is all about. And that's where Balakand ends. And that is a beautiful Sri Ramchandra's pastimes, my dear friends. We are so fortunate that we don't only know Ram, we don't only chant his names every day, but by the mercy of Prabhupada and our spiritual master and of course our acharyas and all the saints of India, of Bharat, of this great Bharat Bhumi, we have a deeper understanding of the personality of Ram and how we can imbibe that personality in our lives. Maryada Purushottam. For a sadhaka, Maryada Purushottam is a more important person than Leela Purushottam. Leela is to enjoy, but Maryada is to practice. Right? So, and that's why you know, we understand that the three main incarnations that we worship is Krishna, Ram and Narasimha. Of all the incarnations, Rupa Goswami says, three incarnations are the most important. Krishna is Leela Purushottam, Ram is Maryada Purushottam, and Narasimha is, I don't know what Purushottam, is done? Yeah, I'm finished. So, thank you very, very much. And thank you for the chance that you've given us to speak on Srimad Ramayana. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.
Is come already?